Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James. And we're back.
We're back, yes. It's been a couple of weeks, but it's been a busy time. Everyone can relate to that.
Indeed. And now the holidays are upon us, and we're going to try to get back to a bit more of a consistent schedule. For a while, iTunes, you know, it tells you how frequently a podcast is released. And so we were there on the weekly schedule for a while.
Yeah.
And now it probably says, like, when the wind blows west or something like that. I don't know.
Does it really give a descriptor like that?
I don't think it's that artistic, no, but it should. But yeah, so we're back with a quick topic, one that I think is hopefully timely and topical and related to another topic that we'll do like in 11 months. But it'll make sense once we dive into it. So you ready to kick things off?
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So here we go. We have our 15-minute timer. And that starts
starting the timer
now. Okay. So a lot of people right now are getting ready for auditions, especially for grad school auditions. And so while it's a little late for us to talk about how to apply for grad schools and what to look for in grad schools and how to do pre-screening videos and how to send introductory emails, because most of those things are due tomorrow on the 1st. Most pre-screenings are December 1st. So That's what we can talk about maybe next year.
Okay.
Yeah. But today I thought we'd talk about the actual auditioning, like that live audition round. And so what I did is I wrote up 10 true or false questions for us to talk about. Okay.
There's an activity. Wow. This is very prepared.
Prepared in 5 minutes and also while I was just driving in the car thinking about it. So.
Great.
Okay. So these questions, they're not necessarily leading questions. I definitely have thoughts about all of them, but I want you to answer exactly how you think. Okay, so the first question is, and these are all in the context of, again, graduate, like, horn auditions, but I guess it could apply to other instruments, too.
Got it.
So, number one.
Maybe my trumpets will find this helpful, so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I talk about the horn specifically in any way. Okay, number one, true or false? They are looking for the best player.
You're right. This is leading because do you mean like, should they be looking for the best player? Or do you mean like, would I look for the best player?
Mm-hmm. We can go a number of different ways, but I'll frame it this way. If you're going to audition, there's a pressure of feeling like you have to be the best person they hear that day. Is that true?
Yes. No, not at all.
Okay.
There are a whole lot of things that go into being a musician and being a successful graduate student applicant that supersedes playing. No, that's not true. That equals playing, balances out the playing part of it. There's a whole lot of things that goes into it. So you don't necessarily, I mean, you have to have skill. Yes. Yes. You have to show that your playing can be worked with. That's what I think it is.
That's huge.
It's like you're playing. Yeah, is like you have good foundational fundamentals. That means that you've done like some of the really hard work that people really don't like to do. Like you've worked on your tone and you've worked on your counting and you've worked on your accuracy and all of those things that are like the boring parts of practice, not just like, oh, I learned a bunch of music and here it is. It's like, oh, look, I've done stuff. And a teacher wants to hear, oh, look, there's potential. I can further that. That's what I think you should show in terms of playing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's like what I call baseline competencies. Like you want to show those competencies and that preparation, but you also want to show that you're teachable and that you're a good person. And if you have everything figured out, then why are you even applying for school? You know?
Right. Go win a job.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Go win a job right now. Like,
okay.
And the other things are, go ahead. They're probably going to cover it in another one, but yes, you don't have to be the best player. There are other things that go into it, but you should show that you have done the basic competencies. I like that.
Yeah, and that you're trying and you're giving it your all.
Absolutely.
If you go in there, you want to do your best, obviously. Which means that
you should sweat. You should turn really red. You should right. act really nervous. To
say
be
you're
like,
sorry after every note.
This just... is like...
Every single chip, you just put the horn down. Sorry.
Shed some tears. It'll... Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Don't do any of those things if you can help it.
Although, okay, on an aside, I have heard an audition or two where someone will miss and go like, uh-oh, and just say it in the most hilarious way. It's...
Is that from the faculty panel listening to them, or is that from the player? Because
the player.
I think both are hilarious. Because yeah. wouldn't you... Could you just imagine someone playing for you and like they do something and you go, uh-oh.
That would be, I think, some needed levity.
That would
not the person was dying.
Like, yeah, that's right. Be dead You'd inside. Have to make sure it was the right person, or like that yeah. would be just a shot in the, you know, the confidence. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Taking too long there. Okay.
So yeah. So the next question is: if given the option for repertoire, I should play the hardest music.
Absolutely false. You should play the things that you sound best on.
That's it. Yep. Exactly. That's all we need to talk about that question, because that's the whole point is showcasing yourself.
I do think there are some standards that you should do. Like, you should show that you have played, or you might, I think programming a standard should be on there. Like, if you're going to go to, like, for horn specifically, like, I think programming something like one of the Strauss concerti is a good idea.
Yeah,
Mozart's,
good idea.
That kind of thing. I mean, just the standard stuff that's like, I know what the history of the instrument is, and make sure it's the one that you sound best on. I did Strauss II for all my master's auditions because I just wanted to. Like, that was what I thought I should do. You know, I was under that impression. I mean, do you like Strauss II? So, like, would I play it now? No. Like, I don't really want to play it now. So
sure.
It was just like what I
felt
it
was right.
Had to do. I did. I felt like it was a qualifying piece to, like we said, show everything. Showed that it was a standard. It shows off high range. It shows off, you know, endurance and all of these like basic things. So
yeah,
that's why I did it. But would I pick it now? I don't know.
I think that's a fair answer, and I think it's a thing that if you have a teacher and you trust them, they can help you pick the best pieces for
absolutely.
You.
Which is part of our job. Yep.
Yep. Okay, the next one is, I should dress to impress.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I think, because the opposite side would be if I asked, I should dress in whatever is most comfortable that allows me to play my best.
This is graduate audition. So sorry. Yes, absolutely. If you're a graduate student auditioning, you should do that.
Just
and that doesn't
nice.
Mean that I don't think. Yes, that doesn't mean I don't think undergraduates should. I think that there are situations that undergraduates don't know to dress well for an audition. Like sometimes, at least where I am, it's not always a thing. Sometimes people show up and they don't quite know like what the expected standard is for undergraduate, and that's
right.
Okay, I don't think that's a terrible thing. Depending on where they come from, they may have never had like someone advising them to do that. But for graduate auditions,
yep.
absolutely, you should dress very nicely. You should not wear a tuxedo.
No, but it's not a screened audition.
You should not.
So it's you're
no.
making an impression, and your first
yes.
impression, part of it unfortunately is visual.
No,
and
totally.
So that shows that you can, that you're thoughtful, that you can, you know, put yourself together. And again, yeah, not a tuxedo, but maybe not like a Slayer t-shirt.
No, although it's becoming increasingly common to wear sneakers.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay. That's a
if Canadian brass
me,
can do
but...
it, then we can all can do it.
That's their shtick. Yeah, it's true.
Right.
It's their thing. But definitely not a tuxedo. Just something, you're right, nice.
Yep.
Something to impress. Yeah.
Okay. Next question is true or false? Next, not a question. Well, sort of. I am only there to play my audition.
No, you are there to meet your maybe future teacher mm-hmm. and to see how you vibe.
Mm-hmm. And to just check out the school and see if it's a good Absolutely. Fit for you. You're auditioning at Very the school, true. But you're also auditioning the school for you.
Yes. And seeing, and it's also factor. I mean, there's all the factors. There's the what does the school offer? There's, like you said, do we vibe with the teacher? It's a lot of things. I think it's also about location. Can you actually live there for the next however many years? Mm-hmm. One of my graduate auditions was in a very cold place. Although we went to Iowa, which was not warm, right. but no. like a much colder place. And mm-hmm. I, even from the moment I stepped off the plane, I was like, I could not do this.
Right.
Yep. Like it was in the dead of January, and I'm like, I could not do this. Nope.
Nope. Not anymore.
Nope. No, not anymore. So anyway, you're definitely there to see what it's like.
And if they host something like a graduate audition or lunch or something, like, go to that. Don't skip it.
Oh, totally. Totally.
So do socialize a little bit if it's encouraged Definitely. And it's part of the thing that is set up for you to get perspective. Okay, Definitely. Speaking of that, number 5, true or false, I should not talk with any other auditioners because they are my competition.
That is false. You should be the nicest person you possibly can. And you should try and make friends everywhere you go because you never know who you'll run into later in life. And it's just people remember people.
Yeah. Right.
People remember people for usually if you stick out, it can be for bad reasons. And you don't want to be remembered for bad reasons.
Right.
So
now, I mean, that said,
a nice guy.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want focus for your audition and you don't want to talk to people, like, that's okay. But if there is a social thing, like, the world is so small in our musical circles, you will see these people again.
Yeah, totally. And in some way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never right. know where they're going to influence or like, be someone that you'll play a gig with or want or end up in the same city as or...
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's, I mean, how many times has that happened to us? Like,
a lot.
Over the years.
I had to share a warm-up room with a friend at one of my grad school auditions because there just weren't enough. And it's like, oh, yeah, hey, come, you can warm up here too. That's fine. So you just, that's what you sometimes got to do. Okay, next question. This is a quick one. True or false? I should warm up like any other day.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, next question.
Yes.
number 7, because it really isn't more to say that. Just don't be weird. Just do your thing.
Yeah, the scariest things in
overplay.
The world. We said it a million times. Don't overplay. And also, like, if you have super chops that day, just, like, realize it's just a random day. Don't overplay. Right. And just, you know, just hope that it's just a regular day. That's it. Don't do anything weird.
Okay, number 7. True or false? Sight reading at an audition is unfair.
I think it's one of the fairest things that can be done at an audition. So
fairest
I would
and
say
potentially most frustrating, depending on your ability at sight reading.
Revealing.
Okay, so yeah. So tell me, when you give someone sight reading, what are you looking for? And how can they use it as an own metric in their own success in an audition? Because that's a different thing.
Yep. When I listen for sight reading, I'm listening. Gosh, so my program doesn't have as many grad students, so I primarily listen to undergrads sight read all the time. And I know mm-hmm. what I'm listening for them, which I think is it needs to be elevated for the graduate level. But what I'm listening for on the musical side, I'm listening for rhythmic accuracy. I couldn't care less about notes. Not that much, right? Like, people are going to miss notes the end when they sight read. Okay, we try to be as accurate as we can. Fine. Rhythmic stuff is what I'm listening for a lot because rhythm doesn't ever really change. And that's kind of like, we said it before, like in a regurgitation of how much music you've ingested. Like, have you done the sight reading process a lot? Because you see the same things over and over. But very balanced with that is recovery and continuing to move and continuing to go on and just not stopping at mistakes. I think that is so huge with sight reading. And that is something you have to force yourself to do and to train for, is to just realize that things are going to happen and you just got to keep going because music doesn't stop. So, and when I hear someone who, okay, they may have missed a note or some notes, or, oh no, there was a key change and they caught it like an accidental too late, that, and then they realized, you know, oh no, I'm in A flat now instead of A major, whatever they came from. And they start playing the right notes after that. Whatever. They kept going. That's great. Mm-hmm. On a second read, it would be great. That's what I always think.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just filling in the gaps of what they can and can't do. And also, it gives us a head start into how we can help them the best. Like, okay, so obviously, that's why I like to make sight reading really stinking hard. It could be slightly demoralizing if they completely biff, but like, that's not a huge part of what I'm judging them on for acceptance or not. I'm just seeing, like, okay, what's their high range, what's their low range, what's, can they read intricate rhythms, like all of that kind of stuff.
That is so shocking. I am the complete opposite. I make them sight read devastatingly easy because I think that's the most revealing, and like, just like those baseline competency fundamentals is like, give them one of the, is it time?
Yeah, it's just really soft timer.
Okay, well, we're gonna finish this, we'll go really fast, but like, okay, two things real quick is that I think it reveals really baseline stuff if I give them like number two out of the King Cone lyrical studies.
Yeah,
here's number one or number two. It's like, that's devastatingly hard because it's slow, long notes. Like, what do you do? You know, it's actually technically easy to sight read. What can you do with it? I also think that sight reading,
good point.
Like you said, I also think it reveals a lot because I think when you sight read, you revert back to what I call your natural playing ability at that present moment. It's kind of like when you transpose. When we transpose in sight read, like, we only think about transposition and we stop thinking about anything else. So the better you can like sight read and do all the fundamentals of not just playing the right notes at the right time, but like good tone, actually infuse musicality, play with good intonation, play with good style, read the dynamics and the articulations. If you can get all that, it means that that's what you naturally do as a player. And that's cool to hear, like you said, what your abilities are. So you go back to your natural state.
Well, you know what? I think you've actually inspired me to take maybe that slightly different approach this year and see how that goes. I think I might alter a Conconi etude, like modalize it a little bit and just use that.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to make them sight read out of the Biche book.
Yes, do it.
I'm gonna make it stinking hard. I'm gonna make an incoming freshman be like, here's Maxime Alphon's book 6, turn to last one. Go.
Do Reynolds and give them the click beforehand and be like, okay, there's your click.
Number one, it says a quarter equals 120. Let's go.
Yep. And then they crash and burn and then they just walk off the stage. We didn't get to all the questions, but we got to most of them. And I'll just leave with this one, which is, if I did not get accepted, I'm a failure. That is obviously false. You don't
Very
know
false.
The reasons why someone was or wasn't accepted. And so as long as you go in there and just tell yourself that you did the best you could, nothing more you can do.
You do your best on that day. It's just like any other audition. You can't control who else goes. You can only control what you do. So be proud of what you do.
That's a good sentiment to end on. And I'll say, if anyone listening has other questions related to this process or any of the smaller topics that we discussed within, feel free to let us know. We can definitely expand or expound upon those in a future episode. And thinking in the future, we could also do one about, like I said, how to select grad schools or undergrad schools, you know, what to look for, how to communicate with professors, how to prepare. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
That is so huge. And would be a really good one to do. Absolutely.
But that's the future. And for the now, we're going to wrap up. So thank you all for listening. Hope you have a good holiday season, as we are now in the thick of it. And we will be back soon with who knows what. Might be special, might not. I honestly don't know. I'm not trying to tease anything. I just honestly don't know.
No, we'll be back with you soon. You know where to find us on social media. All of our stuff is linked below. Thank you again for listening, and happy holidays, and we'll be back soon.